You're listening to In Demand with Alex and Lucy.
You're listening to In Demand with Alex and Lucy, and tonight we welcome brand new singing sensation Sky Ferreira.
Hello.
Hey, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
She's just laughing at us.
Okay, yeah, no, I just walked out of the room. I was like, oh, I'm done.
Oh,
I'm
done enough.
Game over. What did we say?
Nothing.
Welcome to our world. Thank you very much for coming into it.
No problem.
How's your time in the UK so far?
It's going well. I'm just jet lag.
Yeah.
Really bad. But the TV's pretty strange, though, that I've been watching.
Oh, really? What have you been watching?
Because it's different in America. They don't, like, take breaks here. They're like, oh, I'll be back on at 5 p.m. tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. No, I know what you mean. There's a few channels, like the digital ones, that go all night. Yeah. But they're rubbish.
And then
like,
there's
bingo
also,
TV.
Like, Big Brother House Sleeping or something.
Yeah.
On, like, five stations.
I get annoyed.
You're just watching them sleep in, like, night vision.
Yeah.
It was kind of creepy.
And if you can't sleep and you get up and want to watch telly and it's Big Brother, I'm like, how dare they not be up and doing something? I need to watch something other than them sleeping.
Other than sleeping, yeah. I didn't know that they, like, literally have them on for, like, 6 hours sleeping.
I know. Gross.
So you've been in the business, really, quite since you were early teens, pretty much. Is that right? But you were singing gospel and opera music.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you end up being this pop phenomenon?
I have no idea. Well, I learned gospel. I just liked singing because I liked to, well, physically, it just felt really good to sing.
Mm.
And then opera, too. Just like it was something I had to learn. It was just the reaching the notes and how your body works and how you should treat it when you sing that kind of music. So it was a bit different than doing pop, but I automatically wrote pop music when I wrote songs.
So that kind of came naturally to you. That was your natural style.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we know that pretty much you were almost destined to be a star before you were born. Michael Jackson was your family friend. That's so lovely.
Yeah.
What a lot. I mean, was he a genuinely amazing guy? I imagine he was.
Yes, very much so.
I bet you miss him, don't you?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So he must have inspired you in some way.
Yeah, he was a very big inspiration.
Oh. Now, obviously, he will have been an older friend to you. And you've said in your own biography that you tend to have friends who are older than you. What is it that makes you sort of older beyond your actual years, do you think?
I don't know. I always felt way older. And maybe just like how I was raised with my parents, you know, because my dad was always working. So after school and stuff, and he was a bartender. So I wouldn't go to like the bartending nights, obviously, but I'd like go to his bar like during the day when he had to clean it and all that stuff.
So you were always hanging around with older
people. Yeah, and just like older people. Yeah. And my babysitters and all of that were like grown women. So like I thought they were so cool. And then at school, I don't know why, I just had really bad social problems. I was painfully shy.
So you couldn't really hold down relationships with your peers.
Yeah. And I didn't really relate to a lot of them. And then when I got older, the more older I felt. So
yeah, has it given you the drive to succeed more though?
Yes, it definitely motivated me because I liked learning, but I did not like being at school just because of the hell I had to go through at school.
You can laugh in their faces now.
Yeah.
I like the fact you had the guts to just MySpace the incredible genius people that are Bloodshine Advance.
Yes.
I love this. It's kind of like you just took a shot, sent them a message, and they paid attention to you.
I had braces, yeah.
Amazing.
Like, you should work with me, and I'm like braces and all of like totally it was like going to school that day.
Aww.
And they totally
to
paid attention. It took them only a day.
He's really,
oh my god. So did you send them music as well, I guess, and you emailed them picture of you, music, that kind of thing?
Yeah. He wrote MySpace, had the pictures and stuff. You know, at the time MySpace was like a big thing, so you could kind of see what was going on with the person, you know, or how they dressed and everything and how they acted or talked on the internet.
Yeah. So that was the kind of first social interactive platform, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
It still works a lot for people based in the music industry. It's really important.
Yeah, it's still very involved, even though everyone's like, MySpace is over. It's still like when you go to listen to a band or something that's just coming out, you to like listen to it or stream it, you go on MySpace.
Mm. Yeah, and even for people like us, for our jobs, you know, when we're researching interviews.
And I feel like within the last, a lot of the bands from like the last 3 years were from, even though they don't like to admit it, but a lot of them were from MySpace and got recognized from MySpace.
They should admit it.
That whole like, and I'm not saying MGMT, but like that whole like era of bands was very much involved in MySpace, mm-hmm. even though no one actually wants to say it. But
you've said
I've said it. I'm like, yep, MySpace helped me a lot.
In demand.
Now, we just talked about you working with Bloodshine Avant. You've also worked with Dallas Austin.
Yes.
Now, we had a band called McFly in not so long ago. They're massive over here.
Okay, I have a really funny story. Well, not really that funny. Well, not about them, really. Just okay. like every time I would go to record with Dallas, they would just leave, or they were just like when I was leaving, they would just be coming in.
Really?
Like, I never met them once, but it's just like really funny because it was always the exact same time.
I bet
you
they
thought
just...
he was making it up. He was like, but fly here in a minute.
And then
well,
I'd like find out about all their like crazy stories after.
Oh my God, yeah, well, we had them in, and when we were off the air, they were filling us in on some of the crazy nights.
They got Atlanta-ized.
Oh my God. They were talking about Dallas and saying that he is, like, just a crazy party animal, but in a good way.
Yes, yes.
And a woman magnet.
Oh, yeah, that's so funny. Dallas has had all of the, like, mean pop ladies of, yeah. like, the biggest icons.
Now, something we love about you is that it is pretty much impossible to compare you to anyone. Which is nice because we don't like doing that with artists anyway because so many people do it and it's such a journalist cliche.
It's just like a lazy, like, I'm not saying, well, I guess it's kind
of
lazy.
It is lazy.
Well, actually, one quote I've got here, which was sent to us, was comparing you to Gwen Stefani, Kesha and Bjork. And it's like, well, come on. Yeah. Can't be all three of those people.
Exactly. And they're so different, all of them.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, totally.
It's like, when does Kesha and Bjork relate
work?
To each other at all?
Yeah, exactly. Kesha just... talks on her records, and Bjork wears dresses made out of dead swans.
I actually met Bjork at like a dinner once. Like, she was really nice and everything, and she was wearing pyramids on her head. I was like, this is so Bjork.
She's like the original Gaga.
She's
yes, and who else was Marianne Faithfull?
Yeah, she
like
was
Grace, Grace Jones. Grace Jones is like. And Madonna, too.
Yeah, Grace Jones is immense. Ladies. She scares the hell out of me, but I love Grace Jones.
Yeah, I saw her live and I was totally, like, scared, but she has an amazing body.
Yeah, for her age. She's like 60, isn't she?
Yes, she has a better body than I have.
She's got the body of a 20-year-old, and that 20-year-old wants it back.
Yes.
Thank you very much for talking to us. When will we get an album, Sky? Do we know yet?
In January, I believe, or maybe a bit earlier. In America, it's supposed to come out in January, but it's supposed to come out 1-1-1-1-1.
Oh, 1-1-1-1-1-1. Nice. It's relaxed.
Nice.
January 11th.
Thanks very much for chatting. Enjoy the rest of your time in the country. Hopefully you don't get to see too much Big Brother because it's really dull.
No, it's not. It's amazing. we don't have head of house over here, though.
Oh, okay.
Not like in the US. Alex hasn't got a clue what I'm talking about. but yeah, have a great time and hopefully you'll get some sleep, like a good solid stretch.
Take care, Sky. Thank
Cheers,
you.
Cheers, Sky.
Thanks. Bye.
This is your In Demand.
Thanks for chatting.
Sure.
Welcome to the UK again.
Yeah.
Good to have you back. How's the... because you've been busy in Europe this year, haven't you? This summer.
Yeah.
How's it going so far?
It's been great. Pardon me. It's been great. It's been really fun. The reaction's been ridiculous. And to think that 6 years on... all these people are coming out to the shows and we're headlining Reading and Leeds and I don't know, it's pretty phenomenal.
Is this a festival that has a special place in the heart of the band?
Yeah, I mean, it's always been really fun. The times that we've played Leeds and Reading have always been amazing and, you know, these festivals are kind of iconic. You know, growing up in the US, watching MTV or reports from over here of the festivals and starting a band at around that time and thinking, damn, that must be awesome to play in front of that many people and now to have... a chance to come over and play these shows is really cool.
I spoke to Jared Leto from 30 Seconds to Mars a few months ago,
mm-hmm.
and he was comparing the European festivals to the UK ones. He seemed to think the crowds on mainland Europe were better than the UK. Please tell me that's not true, Mark.
I'd say that they're better.
Yeah, that's what we want.
I don't know if they're better. I think that it's definitely different. It's just a different vibe, I think. I think that, you know, everywhere you go, people have a different mentality, a different sense of humor. There's something ingratiating to me personally about the UK festivals. I have a great time playing these.
What is it that makes it so special for you guys?
I think because the English not only are gigantic fans of rock music in general, but I think that the English have a great sense of humor that I've always had a good time playing over here. And for some reason, they think that our stupid jokes are funny, and I like that about the UK crowds.
And how has the band evolved from sort of 6 years ago to where you are now, personally and professionally, in terms of when you take a show to a stage like this?
Well, I think that we're still Blink-182. We still make asses of ourselves on stage, but I think that we're a lot more cognizant of the presentation of the show as a whole, whereas before we used to just get on stage and play as fast as we could, as loud as we could, and then we'd just stop for like, I don't know, 7 minutes in between songs, and people would just be screaming at us, shut up and play the next song. And now I think that the set is a lot more dynamic. We planned it out a lot more. There's segues in between songs, and you know, with the new album, there's songs with a little more depth to them, and we still have the poppy original singles that we play, so I think it makes for a really dynamic, cool set.
So if a UK fan comes to see you at something like this, they are guaranteed new stuff as well as the classics.
Well, not new, not unreleased stuff, but, you know, the newer Blink-182, like the last record.
You're not going to treat us to unreleased stuff yet?
Not yet. It's, you know what? Even before we play anything live, we want to release it. Because as a fan, going to see bands, when I go see a band, they're like, all right, we're going to play some new stuff. I'm just like, oh, come on, man. I don't want to hear your new shit yet. I want to hear the songs that I can sing along with. Give me new songs on a record, and then I want to hear it live.
When do we get the record?
Hopefully by the end of the year.
And can you give us a clue as to who's been involved with it? Anyone we might not expect?
Not yet, just the three of us so far. You know, we started writing and recording when the band first got back together, but we were all still too respectful at that point of one another and still too, like, trying to keep this precious flame going, you know? And we wanted to get to the point where we were just a band again, and to do that you have to be on the road. So that's why we wanted to tour.
Is being on the road such an integral part of being able to work with two guys who you've worked with so much in the past and that are such an important part of who you are as a person as well as a musician?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that touring is key. I think that, you know, having that shorthand and that understanding of where the other person is going to go or when to start a song, just to get that feel for what's working and, you know, how that all fits together is key to record.
Amazing. Mark, have an amazing show. Thank you very much.
Don't tell me what to do. I'll try my hardest, though.
You're listening to In Demand.
Hello, hey. Tayo Cruz.
Hello, Lucy.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thanks. It's been a while since we last had you on the show. Now, thanks for the retweet last night.
Well, you know, had to do it.
Yeah, love exactly. Song of the year, Tayo. Dynamite. Love it. Seriously, officially my favourite song of the year.
Well, thank you. I mean, there's definitely a lot of competition out there, so that means a lot, thank you.
It's been an amazing year so far for music in general, hasn't it? There's been a lot of massive hits, and particularly urban music,
yes.
I would say. It's been huge in 2010. But when we first heard Dynamite and it landed on our desk, I just thought it was a stroke of genius, if I'm entirely honest.
Well, thank you.
It's the fusion of the R&B that's so massive at the moment with a bit of the old Ibiza hands in the air dance.
It is. It's good. I mean, Lady Gaga has been rocking it out as well with a little bit of a dance like influence records. And myself and a few other guys out there too are doing it. So, yeah, it feels good. You know, I'm definitely into a lot of the Ibiza raise your hands in the air dance music.
Yeah.
And I've got the odd R&B vocal going on there. So it's a good fusion, I think.
Now, I want to see you perform it live because I bet when you do the line, I throw my hands up in the air sometimes singing Ayo, everyone just goes nuts and sings it back at you.
Yes. Well, I leave the Ayo bit out so that the audience can sing it, and they love singing that part.
You can always tell in certain songs, you're like, that's the bit where the microphone heads towards the audience and they just go Ayo.
Yeah, exactly.
How did you come up with the song in the first place?
Well, the idea was I kind of flew out to LA and I was working with Dr. Luke.
Yeah.
And Max Martin, and you know, Max Martin's written so many smash hit records.
Yeah.
Literally, we just wanted to write a song that we could put just every single thing that you would say when you go out and you want to have a great time.
Yeah.
And you know, you say, I want to celebrate, I want to live my life, I want to put my hands in the air, I want to dance, I want to move, you know. And we kind of threw all of those words in the pot and we were like, let's just come up with a really cool song, a really up-tempo, fun record. And I think we ended up creating that.
I think you did. It's been massive across the world. It's been top three in most of the countries around the world. You got to number two in the US with this one as well.
Yes.
Was it Eminem and Rihanna that kept you off the top spot?
Well, Eminem and Rihanna, yeah, blasted Eminem and Rihanna.
Damn
but,
them!
But that's all. It's all good. It was number one on iTunes, which was fun too.
Yeah.
And it was number one in the US pop chart as well. So
that it all fun. Counts.
Yes.
Now, you also performed the song on, was it America's Got Talent in the US, and Flo Rida was on the same bill.
Yes.
Now, we spoke to him not long after you did that, and he said that he is really up for making some music with you.
I'm up for making some music with him. We've actually made some music together. He was on the remix of I Just Want to Know.
Yeah. So you're going to redo that again? You know, maybe throw down some more beats?
I think we should. I think we absolutely should. You know, he really, really rocks it, and he's always coming up with amazing songs. So I think a collaboration is absolutely on the cards.
Can you imagine that? Imagine if you got David Guetta involved as well.
Oh, definitely. I'll be big. I've done a couple of songs with David as well recently, which is...
You just work with everyone. You're like, yeah, you know, here's my number. And they all go, Tayo, we love you.
I know. I just put my number online and just anyone can call me, you know.
Amazing. Man with the Midas touch. Now, there's a little lady I need to tell you about. I don't know if you may have heard about her because I did email your record label about this girl. Hmm. Now, we had a tweet from a young lady called Shan Malaika. She's amazing. Okay. Now, she makes YouTube songs and she's got an absolutely beautiful voice. Okay. And she's done a mashup of Break Your Heart and Dynamite. And okay. I want to be a fairy godmother and somehow get you and her hooked up, or you to tweet her or something and say you've heard her work, okay?
Okay.
So this is what Shan Malaika's version of Dynamite and Break Your Heart is like. Here we go.
Okay.
You like it?
I think it sounds really good. She's got a really good voice.
She's amazing.
Is she doing all the parts?
What she's done is she's basically done one song, done the other, and then she's mixed it all together herself and made a little video.
Wow. Okay, I need to see that.
You definitely need to see it. She's absolutely brilliant.
Okay, well, she sounds like she's got an amazing voice.
She's just got a really soulful voice, hasn't she?
Yeah.
In demand.
Then, let's talk about your life in general, because I imagine in the last few years, I mean, the first time you came on this show was, God, way back when, wasn't it? Years ago. And your career has just literally just catapulted into the stratosphere since. What is a day in the life of Tayo Cruz like, say, from when you get up in the morning and you finish your day?
Do you want the truth, or do you want the Hollywood answer?
I want the truth, because I think if there's any aspiring, you know, future Tayo Cruises out there, they might want to know what it's like.
On a regular day, it's just work.
Do you get up early? Are you an early riser?
I have to be, yeah. Generally, I like to kind of like, I'm more of a late person. So, you know, I'm usually up really, really late and working until the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah,
unless I absolutely have to kind of be up to do a radio show or TV show, then I'm up early.
You like your sleep.
Yeah, exactly. So I kind of like to sleep until like 10 a.m. or something and then work until like 4 in the morning or something. But
do you have time to eat? Do you have to do it while you're in meetings and that kind of thing?
Yeah, sometimes I don't have time to eat.
Aww.
Yeah, so we kind of get like a 5 minute window to eat, and then you kind of go off to the next thing. So
you're like, quick, yeah. Nando's.
Right, exactly.
Or anywhere that I can eat food.
Exactly.
Have you managed? I doubt you have, to watch any of X Factor yet.
Do you know what? I saw the one episode.
Yeah.
Of this girl who was doing a cover.
Was it Duffy?
Yeah, the Duffy one.
Give me mercy!
Yeah, and she's just, release me.
I know.
Because we need release. I thought that was a very, very abstract rendition.
That's a very kind description you've given there, Tayo.
They put the auto-tune on max on that one. They needed to reel that back in a bit.
That annoyed me, actually, the whole auto-tune thing. Because I watch it, you know, I want to see the good auditions, I want to see the bad ones. I don't want them to be polished. You want to hear that raw talent coming through, or the not-so-raw talent.
No, and, absolutely.
Yeah, there was quite a few of them that sounded completely auto-tuned.
Yeah, exactly. Now I think that's terrible. I think in the audition process, it should definitely be 100% sort of real. So you know, I think in moderation, it's fine. So, but the way that they used it was a little bit much.
Yeah, in auditions, why bother? We want to hear the rubbish ones. We want to hear the good ones, loud and clear.
Yeah.
It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show again. Thanks, Tayo.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're listening to In Demand with Alex and Lucy.